What's up, Vankas?
Hello, Vankas.
How's everybody doing?
Matt's fucking tired. Matt is just got back to Los Angeles from London, England, from Europe. Where I know people that listen to this podcast live in fucking Europe. Well, guess what? We got Matt back, and just in the fucking nick of time, because he was having too good of a time over there.
Yeah, I'm never going back. This jet lag is terrible. I'm feeling tired, and you know, Fangio, what we learned from this doc is he only had two crashes, and they were both from physical exhaustion, and I think this fucking pod is going to be a massive crash. So, yeah, we watched the Fangio documentary.
Yeah, you might not know that this exists, because it's kind of, no one, I've never heard of it, no one's ever talked about it, but you know what, it came up on my Netflix little, Netflix algorithm, because it's like, hey, you're for some reason into motorsport now, what the fuck is up with that, you don't want to watch Selling Sunset anymore, and I'm like, no, I just want to find, I want to look at fucking Europeans crash fucking cars going 150 miles an hour, and but you know,
I
want to
watch
fun?
Bald, overweight men driving around in like tin cans.
No more of these fucking twinks, okay? No more like Lando Norris could never. Lando Norris could not fucking survive. It's like when you're racing for weeks at a time, you need that body fat in order to feed off of, in order to survive that thing. If you have no body fat, how are you supposed to do a 3-week race through Argentina? Yeah. You can't do that.
And survive a revolution.
That's why Papa Sainz can do those long races. Like, Carlos can't do those long races, but Papa Sainz can't, because he's got that little extra tummy. He's got that little extra fucking squish that will, you know, eat away at itself, so he can keep that energy going.
And that's why they smoked cigarettes, because they needed the nicotine hot adrenaline to keep them going.
Right.
So, yeah, apparently there was this guy Fangio.
Yeah.
And he was pretty good. That's what I learned from this documentary.
Apparently, Lewis Hamilton called him the godfather of Formula One.
Yeah, and Brian pointed out very in our pre-call, which was actually like a little fight, but we got over it quickly. It was amazing because we had this like tense discussion.
Yeah.
This kind of like intense discussion. And then when we knew it was okay was when Brian was like, so Fangio. And I was like, right, yeah, Fangio. And we were like, we're back. It's over.
It's my Aries sun combined with your Aries moon and Aries rising, babe.
Yeah, Michaela was like, I told you. Michaela did our astrology chart and said, we knew how to hurt each other. Anyway. Correct. So you pointed out so correctly that because they interviewed Toto Wolff and Lewis Hamilton said it, but he didn't say it on this low rent documentary. Toto Wolff said that Lewis said it, which was the closest they were going to get to Lewis Hamilton.
To getting Lewis Hamilton in this documentary was Toto Wolff. The first thing he said, he goes, you know, Lewis Hamilton says that Fangio is the godfather of of motorsport. It was like, okay, we're gearing up for a low budge. Couldn't get all the top people that they wanted, but there was still, you know what? There was still some impressive faces in it.
They got Nico, which was like, they're like, sure, we'll get him.
They got Nico right up.
They got him hot off the World Driver Championship.
Exactly.
But he had clearly, if he had just won the World Driver Championship, then that means he had just retired. So he had just made himself irrelevant.
Right.
And because he won and was like, last point wins. I'm the best. Last point wins. I win. That's it. And he was the worst interviewee of all time. He was a trash interviewee. We can get to him later, or we can get to him now. We can get to Nico now.
Yeah,
before we dig into the like heart of this guy Fangio.
Right.
But essentially, Fangio, apparently this guy Fangio was really good. He raced a long time ago, but there's not, you know, because he raced so long ago in the 50s. You know, there's not too many contemporaries left. There's not too many people. He's kind of in this other, he's almost like a Babe Ruth
right.
of racing. It's right. it's very hard to in the same sense that he's overweight, probably smokes yeah. cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you an athlete? And also kind of speaks to like, do you need to be in such great shape to drive a race car? I don't know. Maybe these guys. And Brian pointed out, so Brian did a TikTok about, because you see all these F1 drivers who like doth protest too much their athleticism with their training. Like, yeah. you know, they're all like 50 Cent in Indy Club with the fucking shit hooked up. Like, go, shorty. It's your birthday.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
all like doing the intense workouts.
Right.
Like they're the shit. And then you cut to Max, who's doing like a Peloton workout at home. It's marginally more challenging than my mom's Zumba class. And he's the best.
Right.
So, and the way he runs is like, he can barely put one foot in front of the other. So like you look at Fangio, he's not an athlete, but you look at Max, like he's not either.
But he's a killer.
But he's a killer. And Fangio was a killer. It didn't seem like Fangio was a killer. It was right. more, in those days, it wasn't about being a killer. It was about being like, I welcome death. I'm okay with death.
Right, right.
Because back then it wasn't about killing. It was about, because like you could literally die.
Right, right, right. Now we
say it was
killer,
about accepting.
Yeah.
The fact that you might die. Now you say killer like being aggressive, but you're not actually going to kill anybody.
Right, right. Now we like say it, and it's like, as I say it, I'm like, should we really say this? Because people do die doing this, and they still do. But back then, it was five a year. It was like,
yeah.
It was more. I mean, it was like, it was more than that. It was, people were just, they were dying left and right. It's insane.
You couldn't be a killer. You couldn't be a killer back then, because if you drove like Max does now, then you would make it like one race.
Yeah, right.
It was you just couldn't do it. It was right. just about equanimity yeah. about death and not being too timid, but probably not being too aggressive.
Right.
And I think the point of this doc was to try to thread them together, was to try to say like, this guy, this overweight, bald guy who started racing when he was 18, got into formula racing when he was in his 30s, but he looked 60 something.
Mm-hmm.
He looked older than he looked way older than he actually was.
Right.
And then weirdly, when you saw him as an old man, he looked great. It was yeah. weird. I guess when you age quickly, like it's kind of like Patrick Stewart. When yeah. Patrick Stewart went bald, he just now looks the same age.
Right. 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 Right.
So, because he looked great as an old man, and
he did. Yeah, I will say he was 40. He was born in 1911, so his first year in Formula One, I think, was 1951. So he was 40 when he started.
He was 40 when he started 40, racing.
Yeah, yeah, in Formula One.
That's Formula One. He was 40 when he started racing in Formula One. He is overweight, and the idea is to try to make it. To make Formula One this continuous thing where you can compare everybody. And Nico Rosberg at every turn was like, it was just so different. You can't really compare. I mean, it's apples and oranges. You know, Mika Häkkinen was like talking about the heart of like a racing driver. They got Mika Häkkinen, former
yeah.
world champion, Michael Schumacher rival. And he's like, this is, you know, a champion at any era. You know, it's the same. He's trying to do this beautiful thing where he threads the heart of a champion through the ages, and then just jump cut to Nico Rosberg being like, there really is no comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these guys had goggles. I mean, their eyes must have been steaming up. It was crazy. I mean, they had like three guys working on the team. I mean, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
I don't even know why you guys are filming this movie. I mean, just leave it. Just leave it alone.
Right.
I mean, they were old, they were fat.
Yeah, he's like now it's all about, it's like now you need like reaction time. He's like, there's kind of yeah. like, we'll never know what would happen. He says this in it. He's like, you know, we'll never know what happened if Fangio was, you know, in one of these cars. But everything he said was like, no, we do know what happened, because now you have to be like, have quick reaction times. You have to be skinny. And it's not about, like, feeling the car. It's about precision and being like, an elite master race killer. And he's like, Fangio wouldn't fucking survive in these streets is what he – that's what he wants to say.
But I would argue that Nico Rosberg probably wouldn't survive
in those streets. I think that's more of what my takeaway was, not so much like Fangio couldn't hang in today's F1. I'm like, no, today's F1 couldn't hang in Fangio's F1. Other than Fernando Alonso,
Alonso would do better.
Yeah.
Alonso was born in the wrong era.
Yeah.
That is 100% true.
For those of you who don't know, and I'd heard that name. I had heard Fangio. You know, that was a thing. And when I looked at the list of the drivers' championships, I knew that he won, you know, a handful of the ones in the early days, the first days of Formula One. But he was an Argentinian guy, came from humble backgrounds. He didn't go to Mallorca. His dad wasn't a billionaire, but his dad was a mechanic, and he became a mechanic. And back in those days, they would do these in Argentina. There'd be like a few races a year, and they were like intense, like long. They weren't like street races. They weren't like, you know, on a track where you're doing laps. It's like drive from like the drive like thousands of miles over like the next like week, and whoever gets
drive
there,
from one end of a country, and like, and they're like, you had to pack extra shit.
Yeah.
You know, you had to pack fuel, you had to pack supplies, you had a driver in there with you.
Yeah, you had another guy in there.
Went.
Yeah.
And they show clips of it, and it's basically just the 1940s equivalent of you getting into, you know, a Kia Soul.
Right.
Driving as these didn't look like race cars. These just looked like regular cars of the day.
Yeah.
Like souped up Kia Souls. I read it calling from one end of the country to another, and it took multiple days. It was like, you know what it was like? It was like Rat Race.
Yeah.
The movie Rat Race.
Yeah.
Where it's like, with Mr. Bean, where you're just, it's just like, okay, you got to get from this end of the country to the other end of the country. And it was so, and he talks about how, you know, that, you know, it's like kind of like the Tour de France where you go to sleep and then you wake up and then you do it again. But they actually had to get up early one day. Then they actually had to race through the night because there was a revolution in the part of the country that they were in.
Yeah, there was a revolutionary attack that was like about to happen. So they had to get the fuck out of
like,
there.
It's like, actually, the race starts now because we'll be dead if it starts later.
Right.
And, I don't know how Michael Massey would have dealt with oncoming revolution. Christian, we're gonna have to get back to you on that.
About
the revolution that's coming.
Yeah, there's a man who is pointing a rifle at me. We're gonna have to get back to you on that one. He has a list of demands.
Apparently, there's a coup d'état happening in the country.
In the paddock. Hold on. Let me check my calibrations, and I'll get back to you on that one, Christian. But so Fangio just like crushes it, and he like wins all, and he's like he's the guy. He wins all these awards. He's like the rising star of this scene.
But then World War II happens.
Right.
And what was crazy is he's like speaking lamentably about World War II. He goes, "Man, World War II is a bummer. It was just so hard to find tires."
Yeah.
So Fangio's World War II, because he was in Argentina, and that was kind of an irrelevant country for the global conflict.
Right.
Fangio's World War II, like his struggle was finding tires, and he goes into all this detail of like the agony that he went through to find tires. He goes, World War II was really tough for me. I mean, as millions of Russians are dying on the Eastern Front. Fangio's like, how the fuck am I gonna get tires for this next race? And he talks about how he buys trucks just for the tires. And then And then afterwards, he sold the trucks after the war was over and they needed the trucks. So he's basically a war profiteer. And
he's
He's basically one of those COVID hoarders.
Right.
He's hiding all the fucking wipes and the toilet paper. Yeah. So I learned that World War II was really tough for Fangio.
Yeah.
He was really struggling.
Yeah.
So, World War II happened.
World War II happens, but then, you know, World War II's over. Whoops. And that chapter's done. And it's at one point during this thing, one of his friends dies, right?
Like he makes the move to Europe.
He makes the move to Europe because he's like hot. He's like one of the hot boys of the Argentinian racing scene. So now Europe isn't sketch anymore. Right.
He's
and
like,
now Europe
thank
is like,
God,
good to
there's
go.
Not this World War II thing happening.
Right.
So it really wasn't a world war because some people were just looking for tires.
Yeah.
Clearly, it was just a couple of the continents.
It's a strong point, dude. It's a strong point. It's true. It's literally true.
No, Argentina got involved later. Argentina and Brazil got involved later when they let the Nazis stay there.
Right.
They gave them safe harbor.
And
anyway.
Some Jews are there, like that tennis player Diego Schwartzman, who was like his family, like they moved to Argentina like after the war, I think. And he's like this like short little Jew who's like from Argentina. He looks like he went to our high school, and he's like unbelievable. He's like a top 10 tennis player.
Sick.
Anyway, we fucking digress. He moves to Europe, and also, like, you know, it's like okay, like, when we let's get to the Formula One of it all, because I'm like, I can't pay attention to these, like, it's like this race, it's like you know, and this one where we had to be there for a week. I was like, I have no bearing for like how to understand this, really. Like, I know that they still kind of do that, but like, we're not advanced enough in the fucking motorsport world to like really like get the like cross country shit.
Right around this time, there's this wild subplot with this fucking nerd.
Yes.
In this documentary.
Okay, yeah, this was insane with this doc.
I mean, it just didn't.
They get a guy who like is at like a university.
University of Sheffield, which okay. I have to ask my girlfriend if that's even a good one. Because. That's how my brain works. Is that a good one?
So the guy who goes to this Sheffield University, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah. He is doing this beautiful mind thing where he's trying, like, because it's like you can't compare drivers. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't compare drivers from different eras. That's sort of fact. But this guy is like, yes, you can.
Right.
And he's doing this beautiful mind shit.
Right.
And he's got all these equations like N times Lewis's 7 divided by what if Senna, you know, didn't crash. Like, I don't even know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's trying to mathematically figure out who the best driver is.
Yeah.
And it's insane. And it doesn't really
pay off at all.
It pays off with him saying Fangio's the best.
Right, which is like what you knew going into it. And it's just like there's something. It's just like they're trying to like qualitatively like say something that's really just like an opinion, and given certain circumstances, it's just like, it's like, is the car more important? Like, is the construction of the car the most important thing, or is it the driver? And like,
but the
flash,
thing is,
flash to the end of the movie. Like, flash to the end of the movie. It's like, it's actually the car, and it's always been the car. It's like,
no, but he's. But what's interesting is there is some things to back up the fact that we'll get into this when he moves to Formula One. But basically, back then it was more about the driver and less about the team, as evidenced by the fact that Fangio just switched cars constantly and won in all of them.
Yeah.
Whereas you that's sort of unimaginable today. Couldn't just do that.
But the team that almost just fucked him and took him out obviously was Ferrari.
Okay, so you want to get into this now? Do you want to because this was better than sex for me. The way they treated Ferrari was better than fucking sex.
Yeah.
I'm literally heating up and I have to take my shirt off. Hold on. I'm literally getting so hot and bothered talking about. There was Ferrari slander.
Yeah.
In this.
And it was and tasty, I was tasty to fucking watch.
This doc hated Ferrari. Yeah. And you know who also hated Ferrari? Fangio.
Fangio
hated Ferrari. Won a championship with Ferrari. Hated Ferrari.
Hated
so,
them.
I mean, so let's just give him the overview. He gets to F1 finally.
Yes.
At 97 years old. He joins Maserati.
Right.
Now, it's interesting because you were like, oh, Maserati, that's like a sick car. Yeah. What? And then we meet this guy in an attic whose family owned Maserati. And it says he's in Spanish, it says he's a historian. Like, he says he's a historian. And he's like, he's basically in an attic saying, I remember when my family used to own Maserati.
Yeah. Yeah, they owned it for like 50 years, but like they stopped owning it in 1969, and now he's like in this like attic,
and now he's just fully living in the past.
Yeah,
and then so he was at Maserati. He won a couple of there.
No. So he was at Maserati.
He didn't win at Maserati. He eventually won at Maserati.
He did so. First, I think he's maybe starting off Maserati. Then he joined Alfa Romeo.
And he won
And
there.
In 1951, it was like, and they were like, yo, like, that Alfa Romeo, that 1951 Alfa Romeo, though? They were like, that Alfa Romeo hit, though. So he was like, get me in that Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
So he gets in the Alfa Romeo. He wins the 1951, Drivers' Championship. Then... He has 2 years where he doesn't.
Ferrari.
That he beats Ferrari. Then he has 2 years where he doesn't win. He loses out to Alberto Ascari, who was on Ferrari.
There was Ascari, and there was another guy that kept coming up. I forgot his name.
Yeah, he didn't. He never won. So who gives a fuck?
There was two guys. Farina was his name.
Farina won the first. Farina won in 1950, and he won with Alfa Romeo. Yeah. And then Fangio was like, yo, get me in that car. Let me beat this fucking Farina bitch. So he got in that Alfa Romeo and he fucking domed the world. And then he lost the next 2 years in 52 and 53. But I think it was close.
He was in second or third always.
Yeah, he was in second or third. Then in 54, he joins Maserati. He goes to Maserati. Then, but it's Maserati and Mercedes. Like they were teamed up. So it was like a Mercedes with a Maserati engine maybe or something like that. And then in 55, he joins Mercedes. And in 55, which we'll get to after this, after the Le Mans disaster, Mercedes is like, we're out of Formula One. We're out of motorsport in general because a fucking absolute travesty and an absolute devastating, tragedy happened at this race, which maybe I'd like kind of known about or heard about, but like I didn't understand the full weight of it. But we'll get there. Let's stick to what we're here for, which is Ferrari slander.
Yeah.
So he's out on a team, and he's like, I don't have a team.
And it was really interesting learning that there's only five guys to win races in a BMW. Like Toto Wolff was like, he's in elite. Like
right.
It was
at
he
a,
said
at
like
Mercedes.
Fangio. At Mercedes, there's only five guys. It was like Fangio, Lewis, Nico, Bottas, and I think Sterling Moss?
Yeah,
I forgot who the fifth guy.
One
it's
was,
crazy.
One person, yeah.
It's a crazy small because those guys because they don't have a lot of driver turnover.
Right.
So Lewis has been there forever, Nico, Valtteri,
and they were out of
we'll
the sport for a long time.
Yeah.
But Ferrari stayed in the sport, and which we know.
When the BMW supplied the Nazis got out.
Right,
anyway.
Right.
They're like, this is too much.
So then Fangio's in this position where he's like, do I join Maserati or do I join fucking Ferrari? And someone's like, you gotta join Ferrari because it's Ferrari. They're like, the classic.
They were saying that shit back then.
Back then they were saying that shit. It's like, come on, it's Ferrari. It's the red car. It's Ferrari. So he joins Ferrari, and right away there's issues. Because when he was at Mercedes, they had like their own mechanics. Like they had their own little like three guys like that were just assigned to his car. Because they also have three.
And
they,
he works
they have
with
like
them.
Three cars, and he would work with them. And he'd be like, I build this fucking like connection with these guys, and we like we're a little unit. And I think that was like he really liked that.
And that's the way they do it now. That's right. The way they do it now. Because it's right. And he's a fucking legend and a visionary. He realized that that's the way you have to do it.
Right.
They don't do that in Ferrari.
Yeah, then he gets to Ferrari and they're like, that's not how we do it here at Ferrari. So shut
we
the fuck
Ferrari.
Up. We have Ferrari and we do not do it like that. and he's like, okay, like it's not ideal, but like, okay, like fine, I'll go ahead and do that. And
then the car is sucking and he can't win.
Right.
And then they stop and they go to anyone who doesn't know Ferrari. They say the same thing in every.
They say this in the doc. They say this in the documentary.
To anyone who doesn't know Ferrari, the myth, the legend. You know, everybody goes in for a Ferrari. You know, no one ever resists Ferrari. And then one of the guys goes, except Fangio. Fangio quit Ferrari.
Yes, he threatens to quit.
His friend quit. His friend quit, and he's like, that's my dog. I quit too. We're out. And Ferrari goes, no, we are Ferrari. You know,
they're like, please, don't fucking leave us. Don't leave us, because like, what can we do? And he's like,
they said like something. There might have been some contractual things, like they wouldn't let him leave, and they started negotiating.
Right.
And basically, he's like, I need my own mechanic.
Right.
And they're like, that sounds illogical. That sounds logical, which is, we are resistant to that, but we will give you your mechanic. And immediately they start winning.
Yeah.
Like, because he forced them to do something smart.
Yeah.
They then win everything. And then he quits. And then he dumps their ass.
Well, then also part of what happened is that in the last race, he's like leading. Right? And he's like, he doesn't even need to win the last race, which is always Monza, which I love. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, though. Even though it's in Italy. But I have nothing against Italy. I just have some stuff against Ferrari. So
I thought you were going to say, I don't have anything against Italy. It's just Italians.
No, I love Italians. So in the last race, he's like, he only needs to get like fourth or fifth to win the whole thing. And so he's like, and he tells Pete, like he tells his teammates, like, you guys just take the front. I'll be here in the back. Like, I'm not going to fight you guys. I'm just like, let me, I don't need to win this race. I just got to get like fourth or fifth. And then like, I get this championship. We can like get the fuck out of here. And during the race, what happens? His car starts to fucking break down. So his car breaks down on the last race, and he got Peter Collins, his teammate, to lend him his car. So that he could finish the race and win the championship. After his other teammate refused, this other guy was like, yeah, just you can have my car. So they a true limping to the finish line. Like, he won every other one in, like, dominant fashion. He limped to the fucking finish line with Ferrari, and he needed
also,
to use his teammate's car
allowed?
To finish the race. It's crazy
how the
that that's
is
allowed.
That allowed?
It's crazy.
How many times would Perez and Bottas have had to do that this season if that was still allowed?
You know that Michael Massey would have allowed that. He'd be like, they're like, if Max's car had like had engine issues in that last race, he would have been like Christian's like, we're gonna put Max in our car, and Michael's like, let me check the rule book on that. That's actually fine.
Massey would be like, well, the regulations say that would be lit, so. He was basically making judgments based on what would be lit. That's literally what it was at the end of the
day. It's totally true.
So, yeah, it was only – yeah, Ferrari didn't win that shit. It was the beautiful act of Peter Collins that won that shit.
Yeah.
And then Fangio took his talents to Maserati. He was like, I'm getting the – it was Get Out. Get Out. And they were the fucking woke, liberal, white parents
who are
secretly awful
in
Get Out. Because Fangio knew.
Yeah.
Fangio knew.
And part of the whole shtick was that they're like, that's not what we do here at Ferrari. It was just like, he's like, hey, this is a better way to do it. And then their answer was like, but we don't do that here.
You know what was even better, though?
Yeah.
Was it was like, it also said that he didn't like, not just Ferrari, the like he didn't like Enzo Ferrari, like the literal guy, because at that and the because back then it was a guy named Enzo Ferrari who
right.
this gray haired Italian guy with glasses, he was like no, not fuck Ferrari the brand, like fuck you, Mr. Ferrari, I'm out, you are an asshole,
right,
personally. Like now if you leave Ferrari it's not personal, but like then it was literally a person.
Yeah.
So that was fucking legendary. He to me that makes him the GOAT.
Yeah, that makes him totally the GOAT.
Totally the GOAT.
Yeah.
Cuz Michael Schumacher got sucked into Ferrari.
Right.
And then had to like had to you know marshal all like it took him years after Benetton to win there.
Mm-hmm.
He wasted years of his prime, right. And then finally he wheeled this team. Fangio won after his car broke down, and another guy gave him a car, and he quit and like blackballed them into fucking changing their infrastructure, and then it was like, I'm out.
Yeah,
if you ever see, I mean, it's a classic movie, High Noon. The guy High Noon is about a guy. Who the whole town wants him to leave, but he's like, it's my town. I have to stay and defend it. And they're like, no, you should run because they want to kill you. And then no one helps him.
Mm.
But then he stays and Gary Cooper stays, rescues the town because he's the sheriff and he doesn't run. Then he fucking leaves. Then he's like, fuck you, I'm out.
Right.
None of you bitches would help me. Takes his, because he went from being like, I'm the sheriff, I have to save this town, to ripping the star and throwing it in the ground, because like after he kills all the bad guys, everyone runs and they go, we never doubted you for a second, and Gary Cooper's like, fuck off, I'm taking Grace Kelly, future princess of Monaco, out into the sunset, I'm gonna blow her back out, bye. So yeah,
hell
that
yeah,
it was total High Noon vibes. He's
total
such
fucking
legend. Never watched what he ate for sure.
I didn't think that I was gonna watch this documentary about the like first best driver of Formula One, the history of like the best OG Formula One driver, and for his thesis to be like, yo, fuck Ferrari. I was like, we're right. Like, we've been right all along. Like, I know we're kind of going out on a limb being like, this is like the cross that we will die on, that like we don't fuck with Ferrari. Mm-hmm. But like to have, it's like we got fucking Fangio's on this Zoom right now. Fangio is a fucking red flag. And let's be honest about that.
Like Toto is quoting Lewis Hamilton, because we'll never get Fangio. He's sadly passed away, but it's, you know, we'll say Fangio famously said, fuck Ferrari. And we could always say, if someone comes at us and goes, you don't believe us, believe Fangio.
Right. It's not, we're the mouthpieces for Fangio.
Fangio. You know what I really hate? It's when people, my least favorite thing, I think because it was Mike, I think it was, what's his face? Vettel said it.
Yeah.
Vettel said it, which is like, was it F1 is Ferrari or Ferrari is F1?
Yeah.
That's what they always say. It's like
everyone, or everyone's a Ferrari fan.
Everyone's a Ferrari fan. But they all, that one's less annoying than
Ferrari
F1
is F1.
Ferrari.
These
two are inextricably linked.
Right.
Like if Ferrari went away tomorrow, I wouldn't still get up at 5 a.m. and watch it every single day.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because I'm a noob.
Right.
But they're like, but the red and the horses. Like, they're cool. No.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Fuck that. Seriously. And it's like, F1 is Ferrari, really? Because the GOAT was like, fuck that noise.
Right.
This
the
company
OG
sucks,
was
and the
not a,
founder
yeah,
is
like,
a dick.
I don't fuck with how you do you what you. I just I don't fuck with your whole thing. It was like it was philosophical. It was like it was, you know, it was what's the word I'm looking for? existential. He like yeah. he just didn't fuck with the core of who they were. And we
and it wasn't
because
they were Italian, and it wasn't because they were Italian because he went to Maserati. It was because they were Ferrari.
Exactly.
And then it cuts to him in Ferrari in Maserati, and there was a quote that, when they says Fangio and the Maserati made those Ferraris look slow.
Yeah,
it's just him like
yeah.
And these for these F1 cars, I mean, these cars look like they're on ice skates.
Yeah,
the way they're sliding around. And it's like a soda can on wheels,
yeah,
with an engine in the back,
right?
And the guy has like a football helmet on,
yeah. And he's like so propped out of the car. His head. It's like if this thing tips over, the first thing that's hitting the ground is your head.
Yeah,
no halo, no fucking like. Anything like if you flip over the fucking your skull is the thing that's breaking the fall.
His body is the halo for the car. His body protects the car because when it lands, his body protects the car. So when they get a new driver, the car will be okay.
Right.
Yes,
right.
His body's like a shock absorber for the car. It was wild.
I guess,
and then he went to Maserati. He won. What, a couple more?
No, he won one more. That was his last. So he won the one with Alfa Romeo. He won the two
one
with Mercedes. One with Maserati Mercedes, but two with Mercedes. One with Ferrari by the skin of his teeth, and then one with Maserati.
He won it with the Ferrari, but was miserable the whole time.
And there was a legendary in his last year with not his last year, but the last time that he won when he was with Maserati, there was at the German Grand Prix. I guess like that car, they were like, what do you want to do with your, which engine do you want? And he basically was like, give me the smallest engine. Give me the V6.
Yeah.
They're like, but that's like 2 seconds slower on every lap. And he's like, I'll make up for the 2 seconds. Like, just give me the V6. And
why did he want the V6 though?
Maybe I don't know, because he like felt like he could maneuver it better. That it was like it was lighter, probably. It was the smaller of the engines. So like, but it at the German Grand Prix, I guess they were talking about how he was like his wheels would, because of how he worked the car, like his wheels would disintegrate faster than everyone else's. So like he was like, I'm gonna have to come in and get new wheels. So some of these guys are just trying to like put as much fuel in and just do the whole race without stopping once. Like, no, we know we're going to stop. So give me half of the fuel. Just don't give me like, only give me the fuel for what we, you know, as for half of the race. And so he had that extra quickness. And then when he came in for his pit stop, he was like way ahead, but they forgot when they were taking off his tires. One of the fucking nuts on the tire, one of the wing nuts, fell and went underneath the car, so he wound up having
it was
like a
Christmas Story where Ralphie goes to where you know when he goes to help his dad change the tires and he drops all the nuts
and he's like, oh fuck yeah
because they're literally doing it by hand and putting it in like a tray.
right
anyway so this one nut, and then the guy from Maserati, the guy who's living in his attic,
yeah,
like had the nut.
Yeah.
He's like, it was this nut.
Right.
See, I knew I'd find it.
Right.
anyway.
And then he was like, fuck. It was like, oh, his race is fucked. He's like, this, he was in there for like over a minute. Like, he's fucked. But in true Fangio style, he was like, wait, who's ahead of me? And they were like, the two Ferraris. And he was like, I got this shit. And he just fucking took them down. He just took them down one by one. And after the race, the two drivers for Ferrari were like waiting for him to embrace him, like Papa, like they were just like, we love, like you see us, you see us. They felt more at home with him beating them than they do winning in that red car.
Yep. Yeah. He was the best. He was the best, and he hated Ferrari. So
that's sucks. Obviously title. Obviously, title episode was Fangio hated Ferrari. That's the title of this app. That will be the title of the episode. Yes. So that's why you're listening, because you heard of that. That you knew what you were getting into when you fucking clicked on this link. There was a funny moment. Because that's kind of I want to talk about the Le Mans disaster. But there was one funny, pretty funny moment where I forget who was talking about it. I think it was either Jimmy Stewart or Alain Prost was talking about how, like, you know, they would be driving and he'd be driving like recklessly and getting pulled over. And it became like a thing. It's like, who do you think you are? Fangio?
Yeah.
Like, oh, or like if you were doing something kind of aggressive on the road, you were like, Fangio. And I was like, Fangio?
Yeah.
Fangio's the Kobe of Formula One. You know, it's like you'll be in class and you'll throw it, like you'll ball up your paper, yeah, and throw you Kobe. Yeah. Fangio, it's like when you're on the highway and you think that you're in an F1 race when really you're just like a fucking in your Kia Soul or you're in, yeah, your fucking Mercury Tracer or your fucking Ford Fiesta. But you want to feel like you add a little spice to your fucking day, you say Fangio, and you just send it. Just send it on the highway like Fangio would.
Yeah. That, I don't know, for our experienced listeners, that was Brian's TikTok voice.
I was like, I heard that, and I was like, that's a TikTok. Talk! He's Kobe!
Although I think we're back on the shadow ban, honestly.
Who gives a fuck about TikTok? We have more exciting stuff that's going to be happening in the future than that application. So, okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the Le Mans tragedy, because this was.
So if you want to cover it, if you want to watch, so we should do this other doc. It's like not really that fun.
Yeah,
it's the. Naturally, it's the Ferrari doc.
Right.
But there's a documentary about Ferrari, which we could do. It just would be kind of a bummer. It's about like these five racers that all raced around the same time.
Yeah.
Five contemporaries who all raced for Enzo Ferrari. And they all died.
Yeah.
And it's like, here was this one guy, he died. Here was this other guy, he died. Here was this other guy, he died. And, I mean, a lot of the drivers died. So, you know, it was not endemic to Ferrari, it was endemic to the sport. But one of the guys was this guy who drove for Ferrari, who passed away not with Ferrari, but afterwards, was this guy Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And it talks about his involvement in that crash.
Right.
So you have this guy Hawthorne, this who had a liver disease and was always in pain, always in agony, driving through just agony all the time.
And knew he was going to die. He had like a bad prognosis. They were like, you're not going to live a long life. And he was like, okay, then I'll just fucking send it on the track every time.
Yeah, I'll send it. But basically, he was driving, I don't think he was driving for Ferrari at the time. He was driving for, I think, Jaguar.
Jaguar, yeah.
Jaguar. And he tried to, late to pit. Mm-hmm. So he brakes and like moves. And then another guy tries to avoid him, and then he clips another guy, and they actually have video of this because, like, they don't have like continuous footage of these races. And this fucking car, I mean, you can definitely YouTube it. This car, if you type in like 1955 Le Mans 55, crash,
yeah.
This car gets hit underneath. It's kind of like how when Max goes up onto the curb in the thing and it kind of elevates his car, but this is like supercharged and the car just goes flying.
Yeah. And the it's down like and it's like down the main down straight.
It's down the main straight
where and that's where all the spectators are. And these cars don't have, I mean, even regular Formula One cars will sometimes like you've seen like more modern Formula One cars just like get hit and then all of a sudden it's not downforce, it's like a plane and they just fucking fly into the air. And that's what happened here. And the car flies into the crowd
and explodes.
And explodes and 83 people died in this crash.
Yeah, the driver and
between the drivers and dozens of spectators.
And like children.
Like people were decapitated. like
right
people there the
I'm sure the there engine, was like people that were hurt that just
hundreds of people were maimed and hurt as well. Yeah. Like 160 something were injured on top of the 83 deaths. I had no idea. And I know that like I've heard of things in the past, like sometimes like a tire will like fly into the crowd and like a couple of people will die, and it's tragic and horrible, and it's like you hope that that's something that you can avoid, but I mean that's so many people. It's just so fucking crazy.
I mean, I think part of it might have to, I mean, it's crazy that, well, in the Ferrari doc, they talk about, because Mike Hawthorne was tangentially responsible, right? He braked, he swore, he moved over, and then that caused a chain reaction, series of events that led to this catastrophe, and he was fucked up over it. Like, they actually have footage of him with this, because I think he actually might have, no, they definitely stopped the race, but.
No, they didn't stop the race. They kept racing.
They didn't stop the race.
But wow. Mercedes.
But I think he might have even won that race, and there's just this look that he has where he's just haunted.
Right.
He just has this, like, holy shit, what have I done? Like, feels responsible for this. And like you said, Mercedes was like, we're out. We're done.
It was one of the Mercedes drivers that crashed.
Died.
And I think they pulled out of motorsport altogether after this. Like, they were not in the sport for like decades after this. And I think part of it also was that like they were trying to rebuild their image after the fucking war. They were like kind of like, and then this, you know, tragedy of like dozens of citizens dead at a fucking, it was just kind of like they were like, no, we can't do this, we're fucking out,
the brand is already associated with like death and suffering, so we can't have this association.
So they stopped the race. I mean, they pulled out of the race, and then
you mean they pulled out of F1?
They pulled out of F1 and motorsport in general, but like the Le Mans specifically, that specific race, they were like, they pulled their drivers.
Right.
They did finish the race, which like they were kind of like, you know, well, there was like 300,000 people, and like a lot of the spectators like didn't know. And if all of a sudden they canceled the race, like between like getting ambulances in and all the people trying to leave, like that was its own like fucking thing. But also on some level,
they never would have done that today.
Right. Never, yeah.
And I mean, the thing is, but five drivers dying every year, I mean.
Right, it was just more normal on some level.
And I also think, I hesitate to get into the psychology of people back then as I dive in, but I mean, you have to think about a lot of these people lived through two world wars.
Right.
This is 55.
Right.
So there are people that have seen two world wars who have seen hundreds of thousands, if not millions, die, like, you know, someone who got COVID, right.
You
know, how many people you know who got COVID? These people, like, knew people who just died, young people, friends, civilians. Death was just sort of part of life,
right?
And
it was always on the table on some level.
And I think the farther we get from these cataclysmic events, I mean, look at COVID. Look how many people die from COVID. Look how 800,000 people are dead from COVID.
Yeah. Just in the US.
I mean, we're freaking out about 83 people.
5 million going on 6 worldwide.
Right. But 800,000 in this country, and we're like, what, you know, we're just rolling, because you do become numb to these things.
Right.
And so we're looking at 83, but like there's 800,000 people in this country, 5 million, like you said, worldwide. So it's happening right. It's happening right now. And I think what's interesting is even though it's safer now, even though fewer people die, and the And you know, Hubert died in F2, but the last F1 guy was this freak thing because they had
the crane.
That was just, they had a crane. They were racing it slid under the crane.
And it was raining.
Which was just so it was just it was a freak thing. And if that crane wasn't there, like, it was, the car is not designed to slide under a construction thing.
Right.
It's not designed for that, obviously. But I think this sort of whiff of death, the sort of idea of death around this sport, unfortunately, is sort of the appeal of it, I'm realizing, because Fangio in the documentary spoke so kind of beautifully about death.
Yeah.
He was like, because he said something so powerful, because he had an accident. He had two accidents he talked about.
Yeah.
He had one on, I think he had one in, I forgot, one in like, before Formula One,
right,
where his co-driver died,
right,
which was obviously traumatic for him, and then he had one in Formula One where he like goes, he go, and he was exhausted, and he actually talks about how he, he went from, he had to get from Ireland, it was, I think, at Monza, he had to get from Ireland to Italy, and some prince was going to fly him on his private plane that fell through, and then he talks about how he has to race to the race.
Yes, this is crazy.
And he's just, and he, so he gets to I think he could get a plane to Paris, and then he gets on, he gets in a car, and he's talking about how they didn't have a tunnel, and he's talking about how he's racing with a car up the mountains, like through the Swiss Alps, I guess, to get
to Italy.
Taking the Carthaginians, Hannibal's journey up from the north to the south, to get Hannibal / Napoleon's crossing into Italy through the
and
Alps.
He gets there 30 minutes before the race starts.
He gets
starts.
There 30 minutes and he's exhausted, and then
he
crashes.
He starts in last and he crashes.
He crashes. And then he's talking like so beautifully about, you know, I woke up and I realized I could have died. And I realized the difference between life and death is nothing. It's and that's something I've thought about. Like, a lot of times, unless it's this slow, agonizing death, like, death isn't really something you death isn't something to be afraid of, because it's not something you experience. It just kind of happens and you're dead.
Right.
And he talks about waking up in that hospital, and he's just, he has this understanding of death because of racing. And not to compare myself to Fangio, but I woke up in the hospital once, and they told me I could have died, you know, that, and I wasn't aware of it. And basically that's when it sort of occurred to me that you could just die and just not, the death was just this thing that kind of sucks for everybody that loves you, but for you it's just you're dead,
right?
You know, it's not really an experience. And then he talked about it later in his life, like, you know, death is, as long as you live your life well, it's not something you should be afraid of, it's not something you experience, it's fate, it's, and that's sort of, that ethos I think pervades the sport today, even though it's safer, because like, it's always on the table,
right?
And and I think, you know, when you heighten the prospect of death, you, everything else gets heightened. It's like, it's like when you're blind, you know, all the other senses come alive. It's like when your life is in danger, when death is, when the sort of possibility of death is greater, you know, everything feels more alive. And I think that that's just the kind of, that's baked into the fucking cake of motor racing in a way that I didn't really understand until I saw this documentary. It kind of crystallized it for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck.
Rant over.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
What?
Just like, yeah, we can do that too, you piece of shit.
I don't know if it's completely insane.
No, it's not insane. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But fuck Ferrari.
Yeah, fuck Ferrari. Ferrari sucks dick. Sucks a mile of dick. Charles Leclerc is hot though.
Yeah, we love Charles and we love Carlos, but we don't love
No, Ferrari. But they're under the Ferrari spell, right?
Yeah.
They're in the sunken place of Ferrari.
Yeah.
So was Vettel and Schumacher and you know, Kimi. They've ruined, you know, actually Kimi won a championship there, so.
Yeah.
But then he was washed. Then they discarded him like a fucking used condom. So and they discarded
Kimi,
Vettel
Kimi
like
kinda
a used condom.
Kimi kinda could have worked in this world. This was more Kimi's speed.
Kimi would have killed it back then. Yeah. Kimi would have crushed it back then. Okay, let's do who would have killed it back then and who would have just sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kimi would have killed it.
Yeah.
Kimi would have killed it. Alonso would have killed it. Mm-hmm. We're just picking older guys.
Yeah.
I think Max would have been fine.
Max would have.
No, Max would have died. Max would have fully died.
Oh my.
Max would have died.
Oh my God. You're right. You're so
right. He would have died.
Let's
be
God.
Real.
That's so true.
He wouldn't have made it.
Oh my God.
That guy needs the carbon fiber. He needs the halo.
He needs all.
That's not to say he isn't. That is not to say he isn't a great race car driver.
Yeah,
and he wouldn't have been great at that time. But there is just no margin for error back then.
Right.
The safety measures hadn't had caught up with his style of driving.
Right.
So he was if you were a killer back then, you were a self killer.
Right.
But so Max would have had a couple of good races and would have died. He would have won them all and he would have died.
Yeah.
And he would have been the best that could have been.
Right.
That never was. You know, other guys that Fangio was like, that guy, there was something there. But who else?
Like George Russell.
George Russell would have sucked.
Yeah.
No, because you know what's interesting is I don't know if it was Mika Häkkinen who was just dropping knowledge on us all time, or there was another guy, but there was a guy that said like back then it was mostly an art.
Right.
And the guys who brought precision.
Yes.
Like one. So they talk, and I think Fangio was really, you know, in tune with the car, understood the car, was sort of ahead of his time in terms of obviously the way he organized the team around him.
Right.
The way he approached driving was more methodical than your average guy. But he had the art too. Kind of like how if you learn anything about Lauda was the same way, right? Lauda was a really good driver, but he was also like methodical in how he set up his car.
Yeah.
And he said, and then the guy said, so back then it was more art. It was mostly art, but if you had a little bit of, you know, science,
then you crushed.
You'd crush it.
Yeah.
Now it's mostly science, and those guys that have a little bit of art are the ones who win now, which I thought was like,
that was
a beautiful point. And I think, you know, Alonso definitely has the art.
Yes.
And I think Max has the art but would have died.
Yep.
Lewis has the art, would have. Oh. But to George Russell first, I think George Russell's more science.
Right.
He seems very science.
Right. I think Lando Norris has art, but I think that he's just like, he couldn't, it's like, he couldn't hang
I think he's got too much. I don't know. Does that guy want to risk his life?
No, he doesn't.
Does that guy really want to risk his life?
No, he's got. He's.
Or is he just here to have fun?
Yeah. He's here to have fun.
He's here to have fun. I mean, these guys are risking their life, but like, not at the. Like, if I tell you,
you've heard Lando in interviews. Kind of, I think, like especially for the young guys. There's really no, almost like contact. I mean, like they can like hear the stories, but there's no like gravity for it. On some level, like Lando, like, you know, there, I think I've heard him in interviews kind of be like, yeah, but
I mean,
really
Antoine died. Antoine died right there, right in front of them.
No, so I know.
They're aware of it.
Of course. But I've heard Lando in some interviews kind of talk about his attitude on it. Seems to feel a little bit like, yeah, but that doesn't really happen anymore. Like, that used to happen, but it doesn't really happen anymore.
Well, you got it. But back then, you got to lie to yourself.
Right.
Because when you watch the Ferrari doc, they interview Jackie Stewart. They interview all the, like, Jackie Stewart's always available. I think we could get him on the pod, honestly. Jackie Stewart talked about, like, a lot of these guys went into this thing like, oh, it'll never happen to me.
Right.
Oh, not me. That happens to other schmucks.
Right.
And that's a psychological truth. That's what happens. That's how people like approach most dangerous things. Right?
Totally.
That's not gonna happen to me. Couldn't happen to me.
Right.
So yeah, Lando. I don't know if Lando, but yeah, maybe Lando would delude himself to the same degree. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that happens to other fucking people who are poorer and less cool than I am. But I would say that, you know, he's too rich. He's got too much to lose. But I think there were rich guys who did it back then. So.
Yeah.
But there was more of an aristocracy. I mean, those guys signed up for war.
Right.
like John F. Kennedy, right? He was 4F.
Yeah.
He couldn't fight. And he called his daddy to pull strings to get him into the Navy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they were just built different.
Yeah.
They hit different, fam.
The greatest gen vibes.
So Norris probably not.
Science, I feel like, would.
Science would probably do it.
Yeah.
Science
like,
would
he
be
had to
good.
Be crafty back then. It was like he's got that like little like race, that race craft, I feel like, is like that's the.
I think he'd be good. I think he'd stay alive.
Botas would be there, but he wouldn't be great.
Yeah, Botas would be fine.
Botas would be fine. He'd be fine.
He's careful on the road.
Right.
Unless you're in Hungary, I guess he might have some trouble.
Right.
And he wasn't great in the wet.
Right.
He hasn't been great in the wet, which could be fatal.
Right.
And then, so we got Botas.
Latifi would be amazing. No, obviously, just kidding.
Latifi would Mazepin. Be fucking trash. Trash in both eras.
Ricardo. What about Ricardo? And we'll end on Danny Rick.
I think he'd be good.
He'd be good.
I think he's a feel guy. I think he's more of a feel guy.
He's a total feel guy. He hates, like, he's like, I don't wanna know everything about my car. Like,
no, but they said those guys did. Those guys did, though.
Right.
But they drove with feeling.
Yeah.
They use the force. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think Ricardo uses the force. It's like, who uses the force? Ricardo uses the force. You know who uses the force? Leclerc uses the force.
Yeah.
Because I think like that would kind of put him ahead of Sainz.
Right.
Because Sainz is actually more methodical.
Yeah.
But maybe that methodical, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? But who knows?
You know what? The documentary couldn't answer it, and neither can we.
Who's the fattest Formula One driver?
Alonso, maybe?
No, I mean, they're all so thin.
Perez? He's just got the double chin.
Oh, Perez. I think Perez would be good, honestly.
Perez would be good.
Perez would be a fucking...
Perez would be a
Perez
legend.
Perez would be so good.
Perez would
Perez
crush
is
it.
All just
all feel.
Nuts.
All
nuts and feel. Perez would fucking be good.
Are we gonna be like Perez stands this next season? Should we just flip it? Should we just flip it on its head?
We're just like a television show. Okay, so this season we're loving Perez. We're hating Lando.
Yeah.
Ferrari's our favorite team.
No, that will never happen. That's the hard line in the sand. Yeah, man.
Wow.
Juan Manuel Fangio, fucking legend. He's an honorary fucking red flag.
Honorary red flag.
World champion.
Champion.
Left on
overweight,
top.
Bald. Kidnapped in Cuba. Just threw that away randomly at the end of the talk.
Totally.
He's like, I believe in fate. You know, I was kidnapped in Cuba. You know, I thought it was time to hang it up. I was like, what? You're not going to mention that in the doc?
Yeah.
What a fucking legend. Fuck legend. Ferrari.
Fuck Ferrari. Check out the doc. I mean, it's, you know, for all of our newer fans who are listening, who we're learning alongside you, but,
You know what was a dumb podcasting move? You know what was a dumb podcasting move? We should have told the people to watch the fucking doc.
Well, I can do that now, because it's not being released till Monday.
Okay. You know,
like, on the pass, I can do it on social. I can do it on social.
Yeah, no, but if we had planned, we didn't know what we.
Right.
We didn't know what we were doing last week. You know what this Fangio doc really is? It was because we wanted to put off reading the Kimmy book one more week.
Yeah.
So if next week is the Ferrari doc, you know it's because we didn't want to read the Kimmy book again next week. But maybe next week is Kimmy, or are we doing, maybe we're having a special guest?
Yeah.
Special guests.
Either guests or maybe Kimmy, but that will be coming at some point. Fucking.
You know when it's going to be coming out? When the Kimmy book fucking gets their shit together and releases an audiobook, because let's face it, that's when Brian's going to get it.
No, you haven't read it either, bitch. You haven't read it either.
I read like 50 pages.
Oh, okay. I can do a homework assignment. It's been a minute since
I
read a brick and mortar, if you know what I'm saying. I've been doing a lot of e-shopping, if you know what I mean. I've been doing a lot of shopping on Amazon. It's been a while since I've been inside a Kmart. But I will read the fucking book if I need
to. I don't want to read the book either. I mean, I thought I was like, oh, I might have left it in England. Oh, no. And Joanna, my girlfriend, was like, no, I got it. You left it and I brought it. And I was like, fuck. And then I thought y'all forgot about the Kimmy book. And then some guy, I think his name's Brett, emailed us notes.
Yeah.
just fucking cranking up the pressure on the Kimmy book. He's like so happy to be part of this, you know, journey with you guys. I'm like, fuck.
This community. He's a fucking red flag. We got to love him. All right. Yeah. All right, you fucking Vankas. Shout out to Fangio. Give him some fucking love. Look him up. Watch the doc and tune
read a fucking
in.
Wikipedia article.
Read a
for
fucking
fuck's
Wikipedia
sake.
Article.
The guy's a
fucking
legend.
Ones. He's a fucking G.
The guy won a championship at Ferrari and then fucking dipped. He's a legend.
I wrote 1 year with Ferrari and then got the fuck out just in time. Okay, Vankas. See you next
time. Bye, Vankas.